Hello, Melbourne. It's Chrissy's Ham and Brownie on Nova 100. The great Michael Clark is coming up. Also, Ask Brownie.
True crime aficionados, of which there are many. And they're getting voices now. It used to be something that you could never talk about, that you love true crime. But now it's more and more acceptable. They're going to be very excited about this new book that's been written by Duncan McNabb. It's on Roger Rogerson, who's like, how do we describe him? The Australia's most crooked cop. And we have the author of the biography here with us, Duncan McNabb, to give us some insight into the man who Roger Rogerson was. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
He was an intriguing man. You knew him personally. Can you give us, in a nutshell, who he was and why he's worth writing about?
Back when he was a copper, he was the bloke we all aspired to be. Utterly charming man, charismatic, that lovely politician's touch of being able to work a ribbon, make you all feel really, really important. That was back in the very early 80s. Then by the mid-80s, we realised that Roger was probably just a cold-blooded killer. So we had that very fast turnaround from hero to villain, which he knocked over in 5 years from 81 to 86.
So you were in the force with him, and did you guys know that your colleague was a murderer and still had to continue working with him? Or?
No, when we first met him, we thought he was wonderful. Then he shot a guy called Warren Lanfranchi in a laneway in 1981. Warren was a drug dealer. And then we started thinking, this is a bit problematic. Then Roger got implicated in the murder of a fellow detective called Mick Drury out of a drug case that started in Melbourne and moved its way up to Sydney. And when we saw Roger was complicit in that, we thought, this is not good. That's actually when I decided it was a good time to leave the cops and get a real job.
Duncan, how good a cop was he?
In his day, brilliant. Very capable. The bloke the New South Wales government would call on to go and do a serious case. And he was so popular he came down to Melbourne a lot, and he was called up to Brisbane to help them on the Whiskey A Go-Go killing, in which 15 young folks got died in, was it back in the early 70s. Roger was the bloke we called. Very good with an unsigned record of interview.
So what happened? Is it his personality? Was it narcissism? What happened?
He started off fine, got mentored by some of the most bent coppers of a generation, and then took over and did much better than they ever did.
Right.
And I think he was seduced too by the huge amount of money to drugs brought into the market. All of a sudden, you could rip off an armed robber or something rather than you might make 10 grand. You go and sort out a drug dealer and it's 100 grand. Money is very compelling.
Now, the thing that brought him down, though, Duncan, was, and related to this city, was Dennis Allen, who was one of the biggest known criminals back in the 80s, was alleged that he was involved in a drug deal with Dennis Allen and then got caught trying to hide the 100K stash in the bank. That's eventually what brought him down. He got rolled for perjury, didn't he?
Yeah, he was doing a deal with drugs were coming into Sydney. Roger was moving them to arranging from Dennis Allen's couriers in Sydney to pick them up. He'd give the lady the drugs, Miss Jones, she was better known in court. She'd take them down to Dennis Allen and move them through Melbourne. She gave Roger $110,000 for one deal. Roger didn't know what to do with it, because coppers aren't trained to hide money, they're trained to scoop it up in those days.
Wow.
So Roger thought, I'll go and put it in the bank. So he opened a dodgy bank account. As he's leaving the bank, doing a couple of transactions, he turns round and CCTV catches him. First brush with electronic surveillance. And he ended up going to the clink for 3 years.
Wow. So Dennis Allen was living in Cremorne, down near the train station there. Were you around at that time, that crazy time in Melbourne with the Pettingills and...
No, I only visited.
Wow, that's terrifying. Dennis Allen was terrifying. I mean, Roger Rogerson must have been, full of bravado to even have dealings with people like Dennis Allen.
Yeah, two men just, both in their own strange way, quite incredibly dangerous and probably just a bit mad.
Yeah.
Dennis Allen, that story about him cutting up somebody with a chainsaw because he was offended by them.
Yes.
And this is the bloke that Roger Rogerson happily gets into bed with to do a deal.
Yeah. They actually had a great relationship. They really liked each other.
Yeah, and that says a lot about both of them quite nicely.
Like commercial radio. Hey, Duncan, what about, is there anything in researching and writing the book, something, what did you discover that surprised you?
The first thing that surprised me is I retired him in another book back about 10 years ago, and I thought he'd be sitting in a tinny happily fishing with his grandkids. That was a big mistake. what astounded me was that he came out of retirement. Well, sorry, he's been active in criminal circles as a consultant. And here he is, age 73, deciding to get his fingers right on a major drug deal.
Mm.
Not a bad day out for an old bloke. They would have picked up somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000. But just cold-bloodedly planning a drug rip-off on a 20-year-old kid, killing him in cold blood, taking the drugs and thinking we can get away with it. That's pretty bloody exceptional, even for Roger.
And, of course, that's the murder that he's now in, he's in for life now, for the rest of his life in Long Bay Jail.
Yep.
And you went and sat in that court case every day for about 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was an epic court case, particularly on those hard old wooden seats for an old reporter, that's for sure.
Do you, we obviously have got to go, we could talk to you all day, sure. We love this stuff, but do you feel nervous writing so candidly about someone whose associates are not in jail and, able to retaliate on his behalf?
A while back ago, you were always apprehensive. Writing this book, no, because most of Roger's so-called mates are either retired, dead, or just they've left him. Roger had this huge circle of friends.
Right.
When he killed Jamie Gow on the 20th of May 2014, all of those friends got very scarce very fast.
A lot of the ones that are still around, though, Duncan, do listen to Nova. I'm just letting you know that, mate. So,
it's such a great read. It's such a great read, Duncan. We just love it. Roger Rogerson, grab it. It's unputdownable, isn't it, Brownie? We just loved it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing stuff.
Thanks for joining us, Duncan.
Thank you very much.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie.